The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, recorded on 19th May 1998 at Chicago.
Today is a very auspicious day because we have been invited to this holy place where the worship of Lord Krishna is so nicely being conducted. The Shastras describe how within the household, when Krishna is worshipped as the Lord of the home, and when the facilities of the home are offered in the service of guests, that place is like the spiritual world. In fact, the spiritual world is eternal and is revealed according to the particular appreciation of our consciousness. Srila Prabhupada, even in the most difficult situations, would see the spiritual world. When walking through the ghettos of New York City, drunkards, prostitutes, rubbish flying everywhere, rats crawling, Prabhupada once said, "You cannot see, this is Vaikuntha." Srila Prabhupada being invited to a big auditorium with tremendous efforts to advertise his lecture, seating capacity of almost 1,000. Only 5 or 6 people came. Devotees were so much frustrated with their efforts. Prabhupada lectured as if the house was standing room only, overcrowded, with so much enthusiasm. Led kirtan, gave lecture, described Krishna consciousness as if he was preaching to the world. And the Lodi said, "We're sorry, Prabhupada, no one came." Prabhupada said, "Oh, no one? You did not see Lord Brahma, Narada Muni? They had come." Then he told us how when his Guru Maharaj was teaching his devotees how to be enthusiastic to preach, he said, "If no one comes with full enthusiasm, you should preach to the four walls." Because ultimately, whatever we are doing is for the pleasure of Krishna, for the pleasure of our Guru Maharaj. And he is most pleased by our efforts, not by the results. Results will change. This is a world of change. Nothing is stable in this material existence. One day we are successful, another day it is a great failure. One day we win, another day we lose. One day we're in health, another day disease. One day we're on the top, another time we're on the bottom. It is the nature of this world. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, "Matra sparashastu konteya sitosna sukadukada agamapayano nityastham stitiksha sabharata." This material world, happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain, victory, defeat, success, failure, good, bad, they are always changing, like the winter and summer seasons. Winter and summer seasons, you have no control. Sometimes it is cold, sometimes it is hot. Here in Chicago, you have good experience of this teaching of Bhagavad Gita. It is a land of great extremes. In the winter, it is sometimes so cold. The wind is not just blowing, but it is coming off Lake Michigan covered by ice, just ripping the town to pieces, just tearing through your every limb, your every organ. So much ice and so much snow, sometimes practically the entire city comes to a standstill. And then in the summer it is so hot, we're just running for relief to some fan or some air conditioner. Can you change? Can you control the heat and the cold? It is always in a state of transformation. So Krishna compares life to the seasons, always changing, beyond our control. But a devotee learns to tolerate all these changes, to see the merciful, loving hand of Krishna as the ultimate controller of all controllers, and to reciprocate with Krishna under any situation of life by performing service. Tams Tatiksha Svarata. One should tolerate all these things without being disturbed. And Srila Prabhupada gives a very wonderful example of what this means. Once Srila Prabhupada was having a room conversation, and one very learned professor from India, who happened to be in America, he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. It was a question that would be very difficult for a person who theoretically tries to understand Gita, but very simple to answer for one who has realization. He said, there appears to be a contradiction. On one hand, we glorify Arjuna as a very, very great self-realized soul. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna before the battle of Kurukshetra, which is described in the great poem Mahabharata, written by Srila Vedavyas. Within this, Krishna tells Arjuna, Tamsa Tiksha Subharata, you should not be disturbed by the changes of this world, the ever changes of this world, honor, dishonor, even birth or death. In fact, one of the first teachings of Krishna to Arjuna was, Aso charan vasos tasvam pragyavadam shavashase. Arjuna, you are speaking so many learned words like a great pundit, but in truth you are a fool. Why? Because you are lamenting for the material body. You are considering these people to be your relatives. This is the bodily concept of life. You do not know that it is the eternal soul that is undying, unborn, completely transcendental to this material existence, that is the real object of everyone's affection. The body is just a temporary dress that is taken by the soul for some time and then discarded at another. And then it takes another and discards, just like one changes one's clothes every day. So why are you lamenting? A wise man does not lament for neither the living or the dead. This was the first teaching of Gita. Krishna develops that teaching into so many profound philosophical, transcendental explanations of the highest truths, culminating in the ultimate pleasure of the soul, which comes through surrender to the will of the Lord. Man manabhava mad bhakta ma jajim nam namaskuru. Mami vaishashi satyam te prati jani priyoshime. And what is that complete surrender? To always think of Krishna, to be his devotee, to worship him and offer your homage unto him. You will come to me without fail if you are Krishna conscious. Do not fear. Sarvadharman parityaja, mame kam sharanam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masaj. If you surrender in this way, there is nothing to fear. You're above this ocean of material existence, whose waves are sometimes pushing you up and sometimes pulling you down under. So how is it Arjuna realized the teachings of the Gita? as Krishna was speaking to him, because he had such humility and such a sincere, earnest desire to learn. He realized those teachings. And the proof of his realization, he said, Krishna, now I'm ready to serve you under all circumstances of life. However, during the battle, Arjuna's very, very dear son, Abhimanyu, who was only a child of 16 years old, he was unfairly and brutally killed by the Kuru enemies. Unfairly in, according to proper code of Kshatriya, warrior combat, one is supposed to fight with one person on an equal level with the same weapons so that it is a fair fight. This is honor. However, they surrounded him. And many, I believe it was six people, all of equal strength to him, were all fighting against him simultaneously, surrounding him on all sides. And although he was capable of defeating any one of them, or any two of them, or any three of them, any four of them, perhaps any five of them, they could not defeat, even all six of them could not overcome him. But after so long of a fight, he became tired. And in his fatigue, they were able to take away his chariot, his horses, his weapons. He was unarmed. And still, with all their weapons, they fought against him. This was according to the honorable codes of real heroes. This was cheating. There was no such thing as today's cowardice styles of terrorism. Now battle, there's practically no heroism in battle. It's all just cheating. It's a product of the society. There's no honor or truth practically in society. So much cheating. In those days, the king would be the first one in the battlefield to lead the warriors. Now the king is hiding in a bomb shelter with all sorts of nice imported alcoholic beverages, televisions and radios and servants and very, very lush comforts. And the warriors are in the fields. And not only that, but there is they put the mines in the ground. So you don't even fight anybody. You just step on something, it blows up, and you're dead. And the killers, they're just putting the things underground and hiding under trees somewhere. Or putting bombs where people are sleeping or sitting, civilians. In those days, civilians were never harmed. Actually, it didn't matter to the civilians who won the war. They had nothing to do with it. It was between the people on the top. So in this way, there was honor. And when Arjuna returned that night to the battle, to the camp where they would rest, and he learned that his son had died in battle, he was very, very disturbed. He began to cry. My son is dead. And not only did he cry, but he was angry. He was angry. They cheated. They killed him unfairly. Therefore, I vow if I don't kill that Jayadrat who organized this crime, by tomorrow at sunset, I will enter fire. So this professor was asking Prabhupada, if Arjuna was so transcendental, if he was following the teachings of Gita, where you're not supposed to be disturbed by happiness, distress, birth, death, honor, dishonor, why was he crying? Why did he become angry? Hare Krishna. So this was his challenge to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada explains to this professor that it is natural in this world for a father or a mother to love their child. After all, the Supreme Lord, Krishna, has somehow by his own arrangement, entrusted you to care for and protect this child. And where there is care and protection, there is naturally a reciprocation of affection. And therefore, there's naturally a certain degree of attachment. So that is natural. Devotees do not become stone-hearted. They do not become insensitive. They are not oblivious to the natural affections of loving relationships of this world. However, it is all centered around service to Krishna. And although this happened to Arjuna, Arjuna did not give up his service. He did not give up his devotional efforts to please Krishna. He tolerated all of these difficulties and sorrows that came to his life, but he never gave up his devotional service. He didn't say, "Krishna, I give up. My son is dead. How can I fight? How can you expect me to go on the battlefield and fight tomorrow when my son is dead? I must mourn. I must weep. I have no more any strength or enthusiasm." Rather, he was saying, "I will destroy them all tomorrow. For you, Krishna, for you. It is my service." Tamasatiksha svabharata. This is how Prabhupada explains. When Krishna says you should learn to tolerate all the dualities of the transformations of material energy without being disturbed, that means your service to Krishna should not be disturbed. Whatever happens, we will chant our rounds every day. Whatever happens in this world, happiness or sorrow, victory or defeat, pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, praise or blame, success or failure, birth or death. When a child is born in a family, everyone celebrates. And when a person dies in a family, everyone weeps and cries. But what family is there no births? And what family are there no deaths? Births are uncertain, but deaths are certain. We do not. This world of uncertainties, the only thing that is certain in this world is the reality of its uncertainties. Hare Krishna. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. There is danger at every step, in between every step, in between those inner steps. There are so many dangers, and we do not know when they will come. Now they're testing nuclear bombs, and everyone's so excited and fearful in the world. How will our children sleep properly at night if they are testing nuclear bombs? But there's already so many thousands of nuclear bombs. Okay. And who can check it? You can make all your arrangements to check it. But as long as there is greed and fear in people's hearts, they will somehow or other think of some way to create fear in other people's hearts. This is animal life. This is not human existence. Animal life is to somehow or other control and overcome people through process of making them fearful. Did you ever watch animals? If you make a study of animals, it doesn't take reading textbooks or going to zoology classes at Northwestern University. All you have to do is look at them and you'll see more than you read in all their books. When two dogs meet, one shows their teeth and goes, "Rah, rah," and the other, "Rah, rah, 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 rah." They're trying to just make the other, control the other by fear. And in India, did you ever see monkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, you did. Monkeys?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, you did. Actually, it's all over property. It's all over possessions. The whole ego is over possessions. Dogs are thinking, "This is my bone." What is the use of a bone? To you, a bone is useless. Uncivilized, barbaric humans, they eat something and then they take the bone and throw it away. Even barbarians don't care for the bones, but the dogs like the bones. And the dogs are fighting over who gets the bone. "I want the bone." "No, I want your bone."
Yeah. And whoever creates the most fear in the other gets the bone. So actually, his whole material existence is all so many bones. That's all it is. It's all dead. All the pleasures, all the wealth, all the grandeur of this world. People are fighting, especially over property. The monkeys, if you go to Vrindavan or other places, you will see them in the trees. And one has a chapati. He steals from someone else. I remember one time I was sitting in some temple in Vrindavan, and one sadhu served nice rotis. At that time, I didn't eat in so many days. I was doing madhukari and fasting, and someone invited, please come to my home for some rotis. I was saying, oh, very nice. His name was Henat. That was the devotee's name. He said, you have some nice rotis. So he went out and begged for some rotis. He just got a few. So he put them down in my plate. And I'm thinking, after so many days, today I'm going to eat. This is Krishna's mercy. Well, when you start talking about Krishna's mercy, then you have to be prepared for anything. I thought, this is Krishna's mercy. He has given me rotis after so many days of fasting. And I have no strength to go out and ask anyone for rotis. Just when I said Krishna's mercy in my heart, a monkey jumped from a tree down into the courtyard. And within a matter of not even a second, he took all three rotis. All three. Finished. Gone. And I was sitting, and he was looking at me at the tree, thinking, you think you're so big because you have that big intellectual human body, but who has the rotis? I have this little hairy monkey body with very small brain substance, but I have the rotis. You may be living in a nice ashram, I am living in trees, but I have rotis. You don't have rotis. So he was looking at me like that. But then another monkey came and said, those are my rotis. And they started going, showing each other teeth and looking at each other in the meanest, nastiest ways. Just staring at each other and turning their eyebrows in curved ways, like, and make their eyebrows were like bows and their eyes were like vicious arrows shooting at each other. They were twisting their mouths and making the most fearful possible screeching sounds. And they were just ready to jump at each other. They were threatening each other and throwing their claws and their teeth. And I was just watching. Thinking, Hare Krishna. Just see, they're simply basing their success in life and how much they could cause fear to another. Because with fear, there's control. And they were, for several minutes, they were just snarling at each other, screaming at each other, threatening to hit each other, and showing each other the nastiest, meanest, cruelest, most vicious expressions on their facial features. And finally, after all this, neither would touch each other. One just jumped up and scratched the other. The other one running away. And the one who caused the most fear to the other got the rotis. And I was thinking, better to fast than to go through all this. What is the use? Meanwhile, Henat, he picked up a stick and he made a fearful expression on his face and came out running toward the monkeys, and then both of them ran away. Then he took the rotis back. And then he gave them back to me. And I told him that, please, please, I am not the controller. Krishna's mercy, he is giving me these rotis. It is Krishna's mercy he took them away to teach me a good lesson in life. This happened 27 years ago, and I'm still telling the story. It was such a graphic lesson.
of what material consciousness is all about. I forgot what the rotis tasted like. I have eaten so many rotis since then, but that lesson remains fresh in my mind. Let me never to become like those monkeys. Trying to somehow or other use the powers that God has given us to exploit others, to cause fear in the hearts of others so that we could acclaim more proprietorship and enjoyment for our own lives. So this is the nature of the world. Things will always change. However, a devotee always remains steady in his service or her service. Whatever may come into our life, a devotee goes on chanting 16 rounds of Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Whatever comes or doesn't come, whatever temptations, fears, or crises may come in our life, we continue to follow the four regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxications, gambling, or meat eating. Whatever situation comes, we continue our friendly, loving relationship with Vaishnavas. And together we try to execute our service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of Guru and Vaishnavas. That should never stop. That is the transcendental state, where our service continues. Because ultimately, our spiritual life is meant for the pleasure of Krishna. And our service is what pleases Krishna. What we are feeling in our own hearts is another subject matter. But how we are dedicating ourselves to pleasing Krishna under any circumstance of life, that is our real objective. So Prabhupada explained like this to a professor, that Arjuna was perfect because he never gave up the fight, which was the service Krishna gave him. He never gave up thinking of Krishna, worshipping Krishna, doing his seva to Krishna under any circumstance. Therefore, he tolerated everything. Without being disturbed means your service is not disturbed. You may be disturbed, or you may not be disturbed, but the service should not be disturbed. The offering to the Lord should not be disturbed. And to actually reach the realized state of this consciousness comes only through acting on that level. Estapasya. Tapo divyam putrika yena satvam sudyajisyam brahma sukyam panantam. In the concluding stages of transcendental aspiration, we actually realize the eternal blissful state of the soul. At the beginning, we may not experience at all the blissful nature of the soul. But there's only one way to achieve that. And that is showing Krishna how much we want it by remaining steady in our devotional service, remaining faithful to Sri Guru and Gauranga under all circumstances, as an austerity. When we do like that, gradually Krishna reveals the inner treasures of the soul's blissful state of love of Krishna. Param drishva nivartate. Then we experience higher taste. We cannot expect to experience the higher taste at the lower stages of bhakti. First deserve, then desire, Prabhupada said. Just go on with your service and Krishna will reward you by gradually giving you those realizations. Prabhupada said, some people get honorary PhDs. Prabhupada told the story of Rabindranath Tagore. He was uneducated. He never went to proper schools by the standards of academic institutions. Yet even though he was not properly schooled in academic circles, he was a very great poet and writer. Therefore, one university gave him an honorary PhD, even though he never went to college. Hare Krishna. This is called Kripa Siddha. Very rare, out of causeless mercy, Krishna gives that divine state of consciousness. But a sadhan siddha is one who has to go through all the austerities of remaining steady in his devotional service under the guidance of Guru and Gauranga, under any circumstance of life. And gradually, step by step, stage by stage, we achieve higher levels of consciousness by Krishna's pleasurable grace. It may take our whole life. It may take more than one life, but we don't mind. We will go on progressing. But if we're experiencing, if we're expecting to be in transcendental ecstasy at the beginning, that's like expecting the PhD without doing any work. It may come, but one out of tens and millions gets an honorary PhD. Everyone else has to start in KG, kindergarten, go to the first grade, second grade, third grade, go through a grammar school to high school to freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, and then go to master's degree studies, and then to PhD degree studies, and then to write a thesis, and then to be challenged by so many professors. Hare Krishna. You start KG at 6 years old. When do you get your PhD? 27, 28 years old. 20 years of school.
And challenge.
Every year for 20 years, you get 3 months vacation. And you get 2 weeks at Christmas time. Generally, people, when they're really aspiring for PhDs, they go to summer school too. That means probably 20, 22, 23 years continuously of studying and school, beating your head against your books and all kinds of teachers making judgments on you. A, B, C, D, E, you have failed. At the beginning, they put stars on your papers. So it's, if you want to get your PhD, you have to go through all this tapasya, step by step. You can't expect somebody's going to come in your basement someday and say, "Oh, Prabhu, you are in KG, but it's all right, here is a PhD." You have to work for it. So for divine realizations, the experience of the treasure of the blissful nature of the soul, we have to work for it throughout our life. Rupa Goswami explains the nature of surrender is enthusiasm and patience. You cannot do without either one. If you are simply enthusiastic, but you have no patience, then you will work like such an inspired, transcendental, liberated soul for a few days or a few weeks or a couple of years. And then you think, why? I have done so much. I have chanted all my rounds. I have gotten up every day for Mangal Arti. I have offered all my food. I have only eaten prasad. I have read all these books. I have worked like an ass. And 10 years have gone by. And still, I'm not seeing Krishna dancing before me. I'm not hearing his flute in my ears and in my heart. When I recite his name, my limbs are not trembling, my voice is not choked up, and tears are not flowing like rivers from my eyes. Therefore, let me go watch television again. I should not be a fanatic. I should be normal. That is called enthusiasm without patience. And then if you have patience without enthusiasm, you're thinking, yes, I will achieve. I know Krishna will give me his mercy. I know I will achieve Krishna prema, love of God. Definitely Krishna says it. I'm patient. It may take one life. It may take 10 lives. It may take 1,000 lives. I'll wait, but I'll get it. Prabhu, have you chanted your rounds yet? No, I'm patient. Prabhu, some seva. Please wash the floor. Wash the floor. I'm patient.
I can't do it.
I can do it, but I'm patient. So in this way, he makes no progress. Patience for what?
Birth after birth after birth after birth, you'll patiently get nowhere. It's like someone sitting on the side of the road and you goes, Prabhu, where are you going?
I am going to New York City.
But you're in Chicago. Come and get in the car.
No, I am patient.
Get in the train. Get in the plane. Walk. Dude, start walking.
I am patient.
He will remain here in Chicago forever. He will die in the city. Be thrown in the Chicago River. the burning ghats along the Chicago River. This way, we have to have both enthusiasm and patience simultaneously. We must be eager in all circumstances to perform our service. But simultaneously, it is in Krishna's hands, within his own heart, when he wants to give me his mercy, how he wants to give me his mercy. Nadananna janamna sundarim kavitam vata gadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoyite kita. We have no desire for wealth or for beautiful opposite sex pleasures or for fame, fortune, followers or even liberation. We only want to serve the Lord birth after birth after birth. Ashlasya va padratam panashtumam madarshanam marmahatam kurotuva yathatata tavidatulam patomat prananatastu sevanaparaha. Krishna can do whatever he wants to me. He can embrace me. He can trample upon me. He can make me brokenhearted by not being present, by neglecting me. But I am his service unconditionally. I will go on with my service. Tams tatikshasva bharata. It is that state of consciousness that a devotee strives to live by day and night throughout our life. This is the inspiration that Srila Prabhupada tried to invest within our hearts. Prabhupada would sometimes say, work now, samadhi later. Samadhi will come when Krishna wants to give you samadhi. At this time, you just do his seva for his pleasure. Actually, that is already samadhi, if we realize what is the reality of devotional service. The spiritual master engages us in the activities of the spiritual world. Gradually, as we're doing it, the mercy of Krishna purifies our heart and we can realize the gift that we have. Some of these devotees are distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. They are going in the Harinam Sankirtan. They are preaching. What is this? This is the very activities of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spreading Krishna consciousness. In the age of Kali Yuga, Radharani and Krishna descend in the one form of Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. In the spiritual world of Goloka, the one supreme absolute truth has divided himself into the two forms of Srimati Radharani and Sri Shamsundar for the purpose of ecstatic, eternal, loving exchanges. This is the sum and substance of all existence, the love between Radha and Krishna. The entire spiritual world, the entire material world, the entire existence has simply been manifested to facilitate the loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna. The supreme lover and the supreme beloved, and all of existence is meant simply to participate in the love between Radha and Krishna. And how is that participation? By trying to somehow or other create an atmosphere in which they can enjoy better. That is all of existence. The spiritual world is where everyone is conscious of that. That we are simply existing to facilitate through our devotional efforts the loving exchange between the Lord and Himself as Radha and Krishna. And the material world, everyone has forgotten that this is the purpose of their existence. Everyone is thinking, I am Krishna and you are Radha. Let us enjoy. Hare Krishna.
And all existence and whole creation is meant to facilitate our enjoyment. And if anything gets in our way, we become terribly frustrated, angry. Because we're thinking that we are the center, our enjoyment is the center. That is illusion. So the transcendental pastimes of Radha and Krishna are the pastimes of ecstatic bliss. Not only are they giving unlimited divine pleasure to each other by their own love for one another, but anyone who participates, which means the innumerable parts and parcels of themselves, is experiencing that same ecstasy when they simply connect to their loving affairs. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha and Krishna. And they have descended into this material world for the purpose of recruiting, inviting everyone back into their divine, unlimited, pleasurable pastimes. And therefore, the Leela of Radha and Krishna in this age of Kali Yuga is to give Krishna Prema to others, to preach. And who is giving the most pleasure to Lord Chaitanya? Those who are preaching, giving their hearts and souls to bring more and more people to their lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended to reclaim the fallen souls. That is his Leela. It is Radharani's mercy. She knows by bringing these devotees back, Krishna will be pleased. And Krishna, knowing that these devotees are so loved by Srimati Radharani, if they come back, she will be pleased. So great servitors of the Lord, they are eager to please the Lord by giving Krishna to others. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, and is not different than Vrindavan Leela. Same Leela, but just presented in this particular mood. So those who are participating in giving Krishna consciousness to others are in fact intimately engaged in the eternal transcendental loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna in their most magnanimous form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But we do not realize it. But by going on, performing this service, chanting Harinam, serving Vaishnavas in a humble state of mind, gradually we realize what we have been given. Enthusiasm, patience, tolerating all things that come in our path. Everything is an obstacle to devotional service if we are not Krishna conscious. Success is a great obstacle, and failure is a great obstacle if we are not seeing it in its true light. We have seen people go astray because so many hardships come in their life, they give up. I can't do it. How can I do it? What? I'm just a human. How can Krishna expect me to bear all of this? Impossible. If Krishna loved me, he would not do this to me. Therefore, although I love him, I will not serve him anymore. I have to fend for myself. I have to somehow or other do the needful to survive in this world. And survive means to enjoy. Look at this. This person is not cooperating with me. How is it possible? How can I go on? If Krishna is the supreme controller, why this person is not cooperating with me? All the rounds I've chanted, all the prasad I've eaten, why he's not cooperating with me? This is obviously Krishna doesn't want me to go on with my service. It's my service to him to give up service. It's my service to him to give up. That's what he really wants. Otherwise, this person would certainly cooperate with me. Could be a godbrother, a godsister, a temple president. It could be that somebody in the temple under us. It could be our wife, our husband, our children, our parents. Could be our own mind. Senses. The insects. So many people are not cooperating with us.
or somehow or other, I have put so much time and energy in this project. It failed! How is this possible? If Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers, if not even a blade of grass can move without his sanction, why, it's not moving! So we give up. My health. Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. Why my heart is not good? Why mucus is flowing from my nose? Why my stomach is so upset in every way? I cannot go on with my service. I came to this movement to serve Krishna, who is Lakshminath, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Now I have no money left. Where is this Lakshminath? So in this way, when things go wrong, it is an obstacle. Maya gives us the excuse, go away. But then again, when things go right, it's even a bigger obstacle. We have seen so many people leave when things go right. I came to this movement, I didn't even have a college education, and now the biggest professors are coming to my lectures to hear me discuss philosophy, the sociology of life. And I came to this movement, I was a hippie with long hair living in the streets, and now I'm driving BMW. And I have nice house, and I have money, so much money, and I could give so much charity. People are knocking on my door, waiting in line for the scraps of my mercy and compassion. Look at me! How successful I am! How humble I am! Like a blade of grass. People go astray. Maya says, oh, you have so much. Now that you have it, you have to enjoy it. How can you expect all of this that I'm giving you for Krishna? Some for Krishna, no doubt. Some token. But you have to seize the opportunity. You may not have this chance for so many lifetimes to come. Enjoy, my friend. You're thinking, oh, yes, this Maya is proposing very nice agenda for my life. I will surrender to Krishna tomorrow, but today I have so much, let me enjoy. So any situation in life is a potential hazard to your Krishna consciousness.
Potential hazard.
Success or failure, pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, praise or blame, health or disease. Some people get diseased and they say, Krishna, I give up. I just take shelter of your holy name. Other people get diseased and say, Krishna, I give up. I will not chant. How can I chant? It's impossible to chant. I cannot. I cannot think of you. I've done it for so many years, but now I cannot do it. I'm sick. In this way, every situation of life potentially is an excuse to give up our devotional service. We must remain strong, humble, and enthusiastic to continue our service under any situation of life. That is real bhakti. And that is what Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. And this is only possible when we are in the association of people, devotees, who want that. On your own, you cannot do it. Everything in this world is trying to tear us away from Krishna. Sometimes so subtle, we don't even know how it's taking us away from Krishna. Maya can be so gross or so subtle. She can all at once just rip us away from Krishna. And we just realize, I'm completely miserable in illusion. Or she can tell you, actually, this will help you in your Krishna consciousness. But it's not exactly what Srila Prabhupada has taught.
some amendment. Amendment to the constitution of Prabhupada's teachings, I am adding and changing. And actually, this will work better. Definitely it will work better. After all, when Prabhupada taught this, it was in the 1960s when there were hippies everywhere. Now there's not so many hippies. So there has to be some change in the process. So you do it this way instead of this way, and this way instead of that way, and this way instead. And gradually, little by little, one by one, introductions of new ideas, eliminations of old ideas. And we're thinking, this is very good, I am intelligent. I'm making very good advancement. And then after some years, you realize, I'm fallen. Where has it gone? Very discreetly, Maya has taken one drop away from the ocean of whatever devotion was there, and now I realize it's all gone. How has it happened? Where has it gone to? So subtle, gross, fast, slow, material energy is always trying to somehow or other take away the object of our real purpose of life. What if we remain in the association of devotees who are sincere, who are trying to stimulate enthusiasm within one another, who are humble and not just trying to make some bold egoistic statement, but just trying to genuinely be the servant of the servant of the servant and go on with their servants, go on with their sadhana, living simple. That association, good sadhana, regular reading Prabhupada's books, this will keep our intelligence always alert and fresh. And we will always be able to deal with the obstacles that are coming before us. The obstacles are there everywhere. Just as Krishna is everywhere in this material world, obstacles are everywhere. You have to recognize them. If you do not recognize a hole in the road, you will fall in. Therefore, we must hear the Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Nasta prayesha bhadreshu nityam bhagavati sevaya. We must chant our rounds regularly. We must have loving, intimate, friendly relationships with devotees. Always. We must chant the holy names sincerely, attentively, every day. This will keep us. These sacred principles will keep us always under the protective powers of Krishna's mercy. And by his protective powers, he will always give us the intelligence to see things as they are, not to be deluded, but to go on moving forward on the path of pure unalloyed devotion. It is very important. We must come together regularly, raise our arms very high, dance blissfully, loudly call out Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. This congregational chanting, Sankirtan, is the process that unifies devotees and maintains the transcendental state of consciousness by which together we can protect each other from Maya and help one another progress on the path back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Shankar Pandit Prabhu, please neutralize the effects of all the crazy things I have said and speak sober truths to enlighten our hearts.
No worries.
Do you want to neutralize?
His glance speaks louder than volumes and volumes of words. Hare, Hare. Any questions? Chandramali Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Chandramali Maharaj is a very great sage. Whatever happens, he always just goes on. He's the personification of the steadiness in devotional service. Actually, you came and neutralized the effects of what I had done. So anything else to be said would be neutralized what needs to be neutralized. So I can't say anything else. You'll have to neutralize what I say then. Still trying to digest everything you said.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj spoke such lofty philosophy that it was not comprehensible by a small soul like myself. All these high philosophical conceptions about neutralizations. Perhaps in some future birth I will comprehend how to neutralize what has already been neutralized. No doubt, no doubt. That is your glorious position. Would anyone like to ask any questions?
There's one devotee here who has so many questions. He loves to ask questions. So you should take advantage of one.
Who's that?
Go ahead. I don't even know what's that, but he calls me up on the phone and says, I only have 20 questions to ask.
Does he neutralize your questions?
Some question?
And it says that the size of the soul is 1/10,000 at that point.
Right,
right. From the headphones. Yes. So, does the form of the soul contained in this size, or because in some other places they talk about reviving the original form of the soul. So the form of the original form of the soul is covered by Maya. So, to say that the size of it is 1/10,000 of a high point, is it to say that the actual size of the form of this original soul is the size included in this one? I love
saying this. Yes. It means that in this material existence, the original form of the soul is in a dormant condition due to our forgetfulness. A crude example is the elements of the mind, intelligence, and ego that cover the soul. When you die, physical body, what we call death,
is when the soul is transported by the laws of material karma out of this particular body, the body composed of earth, water, fire, air, and ether. However, the subtle elements of mind, intelligence, and ego remain with the soul. And all of the desires that you have of all of your previous births and this birth go with the soul to the next body. So, a person may have so many lusty desires and so much greed, and that's all within his mind. And then he takes birth as a little baby. Babies have no lust. Babies are not so greedy. In fact, sex desire doesn't even begin to manifest until you achieve a certain age. What is it, 12, 13 years old, something like that, 14 years old. Then all of a sudden you start going mad with these desires. But before that, you don't even think about these things. However, they're all in your mind. They're all there, just waiting for the time when your body is developed enough to fulfill them. When your body is developed enough to fulfill them, then all those desires are just revealed to you. Until then, they're in a dormant state, but they're there. So this is how the subtle body works. The spirit soul has an eternal form in which that soul engages in eternal, intimate, loving pastimes with the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the service of His pleasure potency in the spiritual world. But because we have forgotten that form, because we have forgotten the expression of the love that that form wants to manifest, that form has become completely dormant, unmanifested. Therefore, in this material world, the soul is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair, and your eternal spiritual form is in a dormant, unmanifested state within that tiny size of the soul. And when the soul becomes completely liberated and returns to the spiritual world in pure devotion, then that 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair soul actually manifests its true eternal form, which is not any longer 1/10,000th the size of the tip of the hair. You can be a cowherd boy or a gopi, or you may be a cow or a tree or a peacock or a flower. In the spiritual world, every form is eternally serving Krishna with ecstatic devotion. So wherever your natural spiritual identity is, that is manifested and awakened in the pure state of consciousness. Does that answer your question? Until then, it remains in a dormant, unmanifested state within this tiny spiritual spark. It's not that Goloka Vrindavan, there's all little tips of hairs dancing with Krishna. There's gopis and gopas and cows and so many devotees. So this little spirit soul in this material world, when develops into pure consciousness, this form manifests from the spiritual spark. Is there any other questions? Yes? The soul has its original spiritual ego. When we purify our material ego, then actually the material ego is annihilated and the original spiritual ego manifests itself. But you can't reach the consciousness of the original spiritual ego until you completely purify your material ego. How do you do it? By spiritualizing it. The material ego is Janasya Moho Yamaham Mameti. I am this body, and those things in this relationship to this body are mine to enjoy. And the spiritual ego is Jivara Swarupoi Krishna Ranityadas.
I am the eternal servant of Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So when we purify our material ego by engaging in devotional service as the servant of the servant of the Lord, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and serving lords, hearing the beautiful pastimes and teachings of the Lord, living by those teachings, gradually our original spiritual nature is awakened. Hare Krishna. You're welcome. Would you like to say something, my dear Prabhu?
I don't know.
If you don't know, then maybe you do want to say something. Very well. You know what you can say? You can say, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. So at this time, shall we have kirtan?
Do you have any questions?
And you had mentioned that when things are going good, and that's also a very vulnerable situation. Mm-hmm. How can devotees remind themselves that even when things are going good, they should see it not...
The nature of the conditioned soul is when things go good, we want to enjoy the fruits of our labor. We must be on guard that the purpose of human life is self-realization, not some temporary success in this world. So we should, by nice sadhana and good association, we must guard against this propensity to enjoy the fruits of our good works. And that means both in the gross and subtle levels. That means we do not... Krishna's blessing us and giving us some success. Dharmasya hyapavargasya nartatayopakalpate. Krishna says in Bhagavatam that when Krishna rewards you by giving you some good success, you should not think that now I can enjoy the fruits of this success. If you do, then you lose the connection to Krishna's mercy. And the results of the success are, one, the material benefits in the form of wealth or facilities. If we enjoy them for ourselves, it is a great obstacle. And the other is recognition, prestige that we get from it. If we try to enjoy that from ourselves, it is a great obstacle. Maya is thorough, very thorough. On every level, she's trying to take us away from Krishna. Therefore, we have to be very careful in our sadhana, very nice in our association, very contemplative in our life, that there are so many obstacles in failure as well as success. And even between success and failure, when there's just a struggle, there's obstacles there. Krishna can say, don't worry about your sadhana now. When you're successful, then you can do all your chanting and going to temple and having good association. Now you have to work. Yes? So on every level, success, failure, and everything in the middle, obstacles will come on our path, reasons to give up the service attitude. So we must be very, very careful. Because actually, the success of life is not material glory. To make lots of money is not a success in life. How many very wealthy people and even kings are suffering miserably? And what will their next birth be? That is not success. Becoming famous and loved, it's not a success. In fact, people who have no fame, they want to be famous. And when you finally get that fame, and it's excessive fame, you realize it's a curse. It's a curse. The very famous people in this world, there's no privacy, they're always insecure, they're always fearful. They hate the fame, but at the same time they cannot give it up. What a miserable state. You have something that you hate it, it's ruining your life, you can find no real peace because of it, but you can't give it up. That's what fame is all about. That's what lust is all about. That's what greed is all about. The more you have,
the more you realize it's ruining your very existence. You can't not find any real peace, meaning, or happiness in your life because of it. But you cannot give it up. It's like drugs for an addict. A heroin addict knows clearly it's ruining my life, but I cannot give it up. An alcoholic knows it's ruining my life, it's ruining my family, it's causing me so much suffering, but I cannot give it up. Fame, lust, attachment to wealth, it's all the same. It's intoxicating. The more you have, the more you realize it's undermining your whole purpose of happiness. But you cannot give it up. Hare Krishna. This is the world we have chosen to live in. But by Prabhupada's mercy, we have the opportunity to enter into the interior world of our own heart, the world of service, the world beyond greed, pride, or exploitation, the land of where we simply want to glorify Krishna, serve Krishna, be simple and give the glory to Krishna. On subtle, gross level, everything. That is peace. That is happiness. So whatever happens in this world, the good and the bad, with it comes a whole package that Maya has created to divert your attention away. We have to be very careful. And we can learn by others' mistakes also. When we see how people become so infatuated and attached, it's actually sickening. How is this? Such an embarrassing situation. But yet, although we can see it in others, we cannot see it in ourselves when it happens to us. So we must be introspective. And this can only come about if we maintain nice sadhana and good association, and always try to maintain a simple service attitude in every situation of life. Then the glory of our success can be offered to Krishna, and that will be a great service. Does that answer your question? Hare Krishna. Maya's job is to put you in such a situation where ultimately you just cry out to Krishna helplessly and go back to Godhead. That is her goal. That you become so totally frustrated and miserable that you surrender to Krishna. Then she has done her job very nicely. Is pain helpful? If you are... Every situation will help if you're striving to make spiritual progress by right, proper means. Every situation will help. Pain is one of the greatest stimulants to realize that this world is not what everyone promises it to be. I need Krishna's help. But again, depending on your consciousness and your association, some people, when pain comes, they give up Krishna. Why is Krishna doing this to me? And some people, when pain comes, they just give up all their material egoistic attachments and surrender everything to Krishna, understanding he's my only hope. So potentially everything is the greatest opportunity to surrender, and potentially everything is an opportunity to leave Krishna consciousness. Every situation of life, pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor, happiness, distress, success or failure, pass or fail, victory or defeat, heat or cold, every situation, if you are sincere, it will bring you closer to Krishna. If you are insincere, it will be an excuse to go away from Krishna. Prabhupada said,
that if we are chanting our rounds attentively every day, we will be protected. If we are not, at any moment, Maya can take us. We will be victims of Maya. Prabhupada uses the word victim of Maya. Hare Krishna. It is a friendly atmosphere. The entire environment is working in our favor if we learn to see Krishna's mercy behind it. But if we do not, the entire environment is working against us. Actually, it is working in favor. It's all happening by Krishna's arrangement. We simply have to recognize the truth and live in harmony with that truth. Then we will benefit in every situation of life. Hare Krishna. Thank you. You say Hare Krishna very nice. You're welcome. When you say Hare Krishna, everyone is happy. Even me. Even Chandramali Maharaj. Correct?
An example of patience without
enthusiasm. You may say as you like, but everyone knows different. Is there another question? Shall we have kirtan now? Hare Krishna.